Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Accessibility Advisory Committee meeting today on Monday, March 6th, 2023. Apologies for my voice. I hope everyone can hear me. To begin with, as you just heard, this meeting is being recorded. And as usual, we will place the meeting audio on our website, which is wmata.com. I would like to share some helpful tips for people joining through video conference. If you go to the speaker icon, that will mute or unmute yourself. And if you go under reactions, you can click on the raise hand icon that will raise or lower your virtual hands if you'd like to make any comments. For everyone who is on the phone calls joining this meeting, you can press star six to mute or unmute yourself. And if you would like to make some comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing star nine. If you're able to utilize these tools, that helps us because then we can have one speaker at a time. And if we have multiple speakers, we also know the order of how to go and take everyone's comments. So in advance, thank you. We also have American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. Therefore, I would request when speaking, if you would please state your name before you start making your comments. It's helpful for them in doing their job well. It also helps everyone on the phone call knowing who the speaker is. And we do have a presentation. I would request and remind the presenter to please describe your presentation. For the convenience of our members and customers who are blind or have low vision. Chair Sheehan, I can go ahead.
Yes, and
roll call.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Thank you, Anu. Everyone be nice to Anu this evening. Go ahead, Anu.
Thank you. When I call your names, please confirm your presence. Azar Atura. Darnese Bush. Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles.
Present. I am on the phone today and knew my number is 3058, the last four.
Thank you, Vanessa. Rico Dancy. Tawan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Deborah Fisher.
Present.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein. Timothy Howard. Steve Caffin.
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum. Philippa Mazel.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Nuzzo. Sandy is with us on this meeting.
I am on the meeting.
Thank you, Sandy. Phil Posner.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Semelford.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Salmonov. Kelly actually informed us she won't be able to attend. And Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes the roster for today.
Thank you. And I saw Thomas come in.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, yeah. Thank you so much.
Good.
Okay. I would quickly go ahead and share my screen to read the agenda for today's meeting. So if you would bear with me for a quick second. Okay, so we just went through the roll call of the meeting. After I finished reading the agenda, Chair Sheehan would go through the approval of today's meeting agenda. Last month's meeting minutes and the board report. After that, we have Lynn Powersox to present the 8K rail car series. Afterwards, the committee can discuss the FY 2024 budget hearings, which started today. If we have any public comments, we'll take those afterwards, followed by the bus and rail subcommittee report and the Metro Access subcommittee report. The meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 7:30 p.m. I will stop sharing now. Chair Sheehan, at this time, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Okay. So we do have, a little bit lighter agenda tonight than we usually do, but we'll see how we do.
Mr. Chair, if I may make an amendment to the agenda, this is Phil Posner.
Go ahead, Phil.
Everybody, that if you speak at the hearing tonight, it's for 2 minutes. And so you can attend this meeting that you're currently attending. All in to the hearing. What are the instructions that I emailed everybody? And then they will call you when it's time for you to speak. And during that time you're waiting, you would still be in this meeting. And then when they call you and it's time to speak, you'll leave this meeting for 2 minutes and speak, and then come back to this meeting. Believe me, it doesn't get any easier than this to do something good. So plan for it. In your own homes, you're on your own computers. You can call in on your cell phone to the hearing if you don't want to have two. That's it.
Thank you, Phil.
Everybody attending right now, sign on to give a 2 minute talk to the board about flat fares, about bus stops, about whatever you want to talk about, but do it. Get off your bus. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Phil. All right. So let's see. Do I have an approval for the agenda? Any additions or corrections to the agenda? If no, I will accept the agenda as approved. And I will then ask for the same for the minutes. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, I will accept the minutes as approved, as written. And I will ask again for the board report. Are there any additions or corrections to the board report? And hearing none, I will accept the board report as written. Thank you. So our primary discussion, I think, tonight, except for the any questions regarding testimony in front of the board, will be the 8K rail car series updates that probably some of you have heard on the radio and in email. Lynn Bowersox is going to present to us. Lynn, welcome. You have a new role at WMATA. You could talk to us about that. And we are very interested in hearing about what you have to present tonight. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. And I very much appreciate the opportunity to talk to the committee this evening. I know many of you want to get to the budget hearing, so I will try to be direct. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Did you need me to share the PowerPoint for you?
That would be very helpful. Thank you. Sure.
Give me one quick
second. Thank you, Anu.
Okay. While you're doing that, Anu, I'll just continue to talk because you're teeing it up for me, okay? So let me just step back. The chair asked me to explain my new role, so I'll start with that. Some of you know I've been at WMATA for 12 years. November will be 13. And in most of that time, I've been in communications and marketing and had some other roles. Last year, I took a step back from that role to work with my colleagues to deliver the Silver Line. And this new role that I have, which I'm very excited about, is supporting Brian Dwyer, the Chief of Operations, and Andy Off, the Chief of Infrastructure, on advancing projects that deliver on the fleet of the future. So my new title is SVP of Rail Transformation. So I've been on the job 1 week today. And you are my second stop. I was with the Riders Advisory Council. They had a meeting last week and now I'm here. But I have done my homework thanks to Anu and other leaders who immediately sent me the AAC Handbook on Rail Car Design. I must tell you that I didn't know such a thing existed. I'm thrilled to have had an opportunity to read it before I met with you tonight. Essentially, in 2019, I've learned, the AAC recommended that the WMATA board and general manager consider adopting open gangway car design for the 8000 series, or at least for a pilot set of such trains. The AAC at that time identified that the open gangway design, by virtue of closing two cars as where in the position where they connect, would be a safety benefit for many in the riding public, including those who have low vision, as well as those who use wheelchairs, walkers, and other forms of transportation, as well as for people with strollers, luggage, and so forth. So I'm very pleased to come before the committee today to say that our general manager has advised the board at our last meeting that we are exploring the open gangway design for the 8000 series cars. I do have two slides to show, but I will talk my way through them if you don't mind. And then I will solicit the committee's feedback. Essentially, the first slide is a concept of what open gangway design would look like on an AK. Again, it's a concept. It's not final in any way. But it shows that accordion-style connection. I'm looking at an interior now. And it has an accordion-style connection that makes it possible to pass through one car into another in a weatherproof sort of way without a gap, without any exterior exposure, and protected from the elements. The other thing that this rendering shows is the possibility for thinking differently about seating design because of the open gangway features. So that is also something that at some point we'll be soliciting comments from the committee about. In the next slide, this is an exterior rendering, again, just conceptual, but so that you can see how one can walk or travel between the two cars from the exterior. We see the customer in shadow going between the cars, just illustrative of what this might be like. With that, I want to stop talking and start listening and certainly answer any questions that you have. But I would ask members of the committee to comment in three ways. One, does the 2019 recommendation of the committee still stand? And is it formal or informal to the board of directors? Two, should WMATA continue to explore open gangways if it's affordable and proven a better design for our customers? And three, what additional information would you like to see about open gangway and seating configuration in the 8000 series that I can bring forward to the committee in some fashion? And I'll second part to that question, what's the best format for me to share information with you about the 8000 series, understanding that slides have limited benefit for some? Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I turn it back to you for the Q&A. I do see a hand from Denise, yes. I think.
Anu, do you? Yes. Okay, let's take hands.
So we have two hands. One is by the AAC, three hands. One is by Denise Rush. Next member is Steve Kaplan, followed by Sandy Newsel. Ms. Rush, go ahead.
This is Denise Rush. I am a blind member, and so I can't really see the slide, but I'm trying to get the visual look. My question, because of the way the world is today, we have to be prepared. My concern or my question is, the cars are connected, and if there is a problem on the first car and a fire, a shooter, a cutter, or I don't know what, he decide, well, I'm getting off this one and I'm going on back to the next one. He can easily get back, or the fire or smoke or anything. They're all connected, and that's a concern to me.
Thank you, Ms. Rush, for that comment. I would say, and I do fully understand the public safety concern that folks have, especially in 2023. But I will say that this design has become the standard in Europe and in Asia. And so there's lots of experience with it. It's coming now to the United States. New York has its first pilot car using this design. And MARTA in Atlanta is preparing to introduce this in their new series of rolling stock. And so it's becoming more prevalent because the benefits far outweigh the deficiencies of the design. But I will tell you that the European and Asian experience has not been problematic with respect to crimes being conducted and people traveling between cars or something on that order. However, I'm very sensitive to your point, and we will give that further thought and try to see if there's any way to address that more specifically. Thank you.
And Denise, this same point came up at the RAC meeting too. So this is something that they've heard. One of the responses was, of course, is that an individual who is not comfortable in one car can leave and go to another car. Not to argue right or wrong about what you just said, but that was a response that was also given at the RAC meeting. Steve, I think you...
Well, I just have one more question. Okay, if the train jumps the track, or there's a problem with the track, and we have a lot of above ground tracking. So if one car of an 8-car train jumps the track or goes over, the whole thing goes over?
Not necessarily. So the design of the 8000 series, like others, would be specific to it would meet crash-worthy standards and safety standards that we have today in the United States. And so they engineer the car to mitigate any damage to property or people first, or property if a derailment occurs. So just as today, you can have one wheel come off, that doesn't take the entire axle off. It doesn't take the whole car off. It doesn't necessarily take the cars behind it off. It very much depends on the incident. That would not be different in this design.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's see. Was it Steve next?
Yes.
And Steve. Then Sandy. Thank you. Steve, go ahead.
Yes. Thank you. First, congratulations. This is very exciting. Our understanding, even as we, and I would say our chair of the bus rail subcommittee, Tino Calabria, and others in the committee were catalysts in 2018 and 2019 in putting together that document. It still is very exciting because we never thought that the 8000 series would be a consideration because of, you know, maintenance issues and what have you, which require a length of time to put in. So congratulations. I have I have had the same issue as Ms. Rush, and I've worked through that. On one hand, there is a safety in a closed car. You're in the car, and you know, at least for that one run, you know who's in the car. On the other hand, there's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to casually move if you feel you're just not comfortable in that car and the doors are closing. So there's kind of an offset there. This is what I would suggest. First, in the off hours, we, WMATA, I guess we're part of it all. We should still designate a couple of cars closed off as safe cars, which could be filled with cameras and better controlled, let's say, by the officers on duty. I'm talking about more like between 8 o'clock and closing, off hours on weekends, when people really do want to feel comfortable and secure. I'm talking too much, but you may consider trying to do something that nobody's done before. And I've seen a lot of 8000 series kind of cars. You may be able to develop a kind of a closing door that stays open, and for emergency reasons or safety reasons or other reasons, is able to be closed, let's say, by the operator, for whatever reason. It would be just a mechanical door that would be able to be shut. I haven't seen that done before, but I think that's an exciting thing to explore and might resolve, any safety issues. One other thing, in that picture, the seats that are adjacent to where the doors open, you can't see it all. They're all the way back. And so you don't know, if you're sitting in those seats, you haven't a clue who might be coming into the car. I've seen systems where there's either glass or those seats are pushed in a little further towards the center, so the people in those seats can see who might be coming into the car. That might be a safety issue. Thank you very much. Once again, Lynn, congratulations.
Thank you for
your comments. Mr. Chairman, can I point out that Brian Dwyer, our Chief Operations Officer, is on with us tonight? And I know that I should have recognized him in the front, but I couldn't see who all was on the meeting. If we could at some point just recognize him and allow him to add to anything I've said, or...
Yes, why don't we take this this point right now to recognize Brian and add to what you said. I think it might answer some questions or even give us more questions. Brian?
How are you, sir? And I appreciate everybody's commentary. And Lynn, as always, great job kind of leading into this. Mr. Chair, all I was really going to share is Lynn, myself, the general manager, there's a great deal of dialogue going on internally, really, with what I would consider our technical experts. And Lynn covered some of this, but we have a new chief mechanical officer in rail maintenance. He has already taken his team up to New York City. They're actually down in Atlanta at MATA right now, checking out both kind of their open gangway concept as well as some other issues we're looking into, including kind of expanding our onboard camera capabilities with both the 7Ks and the 6Ks. And that team will probably be taking at least another trip or trips to locations like Toronto, where they have even more extended open gangways. So all I wanted to offer, Mr. Chair, is I really appreciate the dialogue of all the folks who have weighed in. I would tell you, from my experience as a consultant more than anything, and as an APTA kind of safety and security reviewer, we'll undertake a thorough safety certification and threat and vulnerability analysis on any design we might consider in the future. I would say there is some subjectivity to that. So I think it's kind of on us to come back to some future meetings with some dialogue about what the industry is looking at. We're really using kind of an industry leader to help on the design of this vehicle, which is LTK Hatch. They've done a lot of good work for the authority in the past, and they may be able to provide us some really good information that Lynn and others could come before you, just to kind of give you a scope of what the industry is looking at and why. So that's all I really wanted to share, Mr. J. I really appreciate the time.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. Appreciate you attending. And we will certainly be interested in any of the studies that you come up with and any future information. You're welcome whenever you think you have some critical things to share. Always welcome to this meeting. And I'm sure that if we have some more specialized information, we have a bus rail subcommittee, and they're always interested in this. Let me go to Sandy next. Sandy?
Hi, this is Sandy, and I think I have a series of questions, and if there's time, I'll just keep asking them. My first one has to do with, I don't picture people in wheelchairs necessarily moving between cars, or myself with low vision walking between cars. I gather the concept is more that other fully able-bodied people would be moving between cars to sort of spread out the, you know, crowded situation. But I am curious, the connection, that there are two separate cars that are sort of joined by something stretchy. At some point, they are connected. Is there a gap from the picture? It looked to me like there was just a sort of a, like a teeny tiny seam in the middle of the floor, and the two pieces of floor were butting up against each other.
If you go back to the previous slide.
The previous one, yes, that one. In there, I feel like I can see, you know, the floor of one car and then a different band and then two more bands. And it looks like there's sort of a seam in the middle. Is that something that would open and close and could pinch a finger or a hand if you touch the accordion wall rather than holding those grab bars on the side?
So
I don't want to interrupt you, but we actually have Shashil in the home on the meeting. So if we'd like one of them to kind of weigh in on some of the technical stuff, that'd be great.
Great. So I'm going to flip it to Shashil in just a minute. I will say again, these are conceptual. They're not final design drawings. And so they're not meant to be, you know, every line sort of mapped out. The surfaces are not the kind of surfaces that would catch or trap. That's not the intention. But Shushil, is there something more specific you'd like to share there? Sorry, Shushil Ramirez is our new chief mechanical officer, but he's been with us for some time.
Good evening, all. Shashil here. Thanks for the detailed questions, and Lynn, thanks for the intro. Regarding the concerns that raised about the potential for pinch points, both with the baffles or with the plates that cover the open gangway, as Lynn said, these are items that are still being considered during, and will be considered in more detail during the design phase of the cars. There are several versions of these that are available, and we will be working with the 8K car builder and supplier to evaluate any of these concerns as we pick a design for the baffles or the plates for the Metro 8K car.
Okay, thank you very much. So moving on to my next question, it just seems like there's a lot more connecting and unconnecting connections between Metro rail cars. So that seems like that's more moving parts to maintain, not just the wheels under the cars, but the more maintenance, presumably the more effort, time, and cost. And so, yes, I definitely think it would behoove WMATA and the advisory committee to hear a study on, you know, projected costs of this kind of accordions, you know, some accordion connection versus keeping separate cars. And then So on the cost front, and if the original issue had to do with safety on the exterior of the cars so that blind and low vision people would not mistake the gap between the cars as a doorway, would it be less costly to just have some sort of exterior connections, accordions between the two cars without, so that one couldn't walk into that gap without redesigning cars to make them open gangways, that as a cost consideration as well as a safety consideration?
So I thank you for the comments and the questions. I mean, all of these are the things. So Shashil's team has been to New York, is now in Atlanta. They're looking at all of the industry best practices and the designs that are available and what would fit in the WMATA environment the best and serve our customers well. So those kinds of questions are all the things that they're looking at as part of their review.
And then they'll be coming back to us?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, we will.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We urge you to do that. We would very much appreciate it. Sandy, did we hit your questions?
Yes. I think I managed to combine some of my questions so that it was three instead of five.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't know if I can recognize Phil. He had some good questions at the rack the other night. Phil, I don't know if you wanted to ask those questions here in front of the AAC or not. And Phil may be.
Chair Sheehan, he might be.
Engulfed in the hearing, right.
Correct. So in the meantime, we can take questions from Thomas, Philip.
Goodness. I didn't know we had more hands. Good. I was going to jump in with my last question. It looks like I'm not there. Thomas, go ahead, sir.
Yeah. My concerns is this. By them doing this in New York and what have you, is it possible that maybe some of us could go to New York and see the trains or whatnot? But I don't think people in wheelchairs be able to do it because a lot of parts of New York is not really accessible. And I would want to talk to the security specialist for Metro in New York to find out whether or not they had any problems and how they solved it. Or maybe somebody from New York come here and they could bring us a security specialist here to talk to us to answer all the questions. Because we hear from other people and we're not really seeing it for ourselves or what have you. You know, that's two different things. So I think this committee needs somebody or a group of people that from this committee that actually did see what y'all talking about, what have you, and then talk to the security specialist, because that's very important. Especially in DC, that's very important for security and safety. Y'all know where I'm getting at. So we need to talk about that. And plus, the wheelchairs going from one car to the other car, like the trains that we using now, they got poles in the middle. So you don't know how to really work your chair. I know how to work mine. You can't really pass through to train to get to the other end. So if the train is crowded, I like the open cot exception. I love it. But the thing is, because if I get on one cot and it's crowded, maybe I could get through to another cot that's not so crowded. You see, but still, a lot of the questions that we have, I think we should ask the people, the experts, that's already doing these things, already trying them out. That's what I'm thinking.
Thank you, Thomas.
That's such a great idea. And I think, you know, once we get through our initial scan of this, if we're going to proceed to explore this further and consider this option. I think having a working group that visits other properties is a terrific idea. Thank you.
Thank you. Anu, I'm sorry, I forget who our next speaker was.
Philip Weintraub.
Thank you, Philip. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, but I would like to be on that list if it's possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. Philip, we recognize you.
Hello. I have two questions. First of all,
okay.
Yeah. First of all, I was thinking about asking why. I was also looking at the pictures. I like the idea, but not only the going from car to car, the accordion type. I also like the way the seats are along the side of the car rather than rows, because that way we could sit down and then be able to get up when it starts up without having to climb over somebody.
Go ahead, sir.
Yes, and then another thing is also the safety also needs also not just be in on the train, but also as in the on the platform waiting for the train as well, because sometimes I have issues when I walk by somebody and they make assumptions I'm doing something to them, I'm not, and I get and they get and they get and they start yelling at me for no reason.
Okay, thank you. Lynn, I know that the seating question came up with perhaps maybe you could go through a little bit of what you said at the rack, where we may be looking at different seating configurations rather than just benches around the side. Do you want to talk about that for a minute?
Sure. So the general manager's view is that we should be designing for the most, for people who need transit the most. And that includes people with disabilities, women with strollers, people going to now the two airports we serve and so forth. And so bicycles and so on. Because the population is changing, aging, and shifting from commuters to all kinds of folks using the service for all kinds of reasons, we're stepping back and saying, what were the notions we had going into the 7Ks? How has the world changed post-pandemic and everything else? Who are we serving today? And what's the best way to do that? So when you look at the seating configurations in the 7Ks, a lot of the decision was driven by the fact that we had to serve both people traveling longer distances, you know, commuters coming in from the suburbs, as well as people who were coming on and off trains for shorter distances. Going forward, the thinking is that there's going to be a lot more people coming on and off for the shorter distances, and that this may be an opportunity to consider whether or not we have the back and forth seating as much as we have the along the wall seating that you pointed to. So, you know, as Dr. Posner said, there are people who orthopedically need that back and forth and people who get motion sick. So, you know, there's an audience for those seats. There are customers who prefer them. But having the seats that are more subway style that go along the walls, that actually gives you a lot more capacity. It gives you more ability to accommodate people in wheelchairs, people with walkers, more senior seating, more bikes, more strollers, more luggage. All of that comes with that change in seating configuration. So that's another thing that we may have an opportunity to look at here. And one of the things that we'd like your input on, we don't have very much for you to react to today. Obviously, we need some other renditions and some other samples, but generally speaking, for those of you who have traveled on other systems and based on your experience at WMATA, what do you think about the seating?
Let's see if we can get some more participation there. A couple of things that I know, one thing that Phil brought up was also that in the bench seating, at least this is what he said, in the bench seating, there was no armrest. And so being a person that might need assistance getting up, I would find that difficult. I don't know how, you know, I would find that difficult, not having any armrest to help pull myself up. Also, there would be the question of the pole's stanchions. You know, where would they be? Thomas brought up a good point. He likes it open, but I, when coming in the door, might want to hold on to a rail or a pole right by the stanchion, right by the door. It's kind of what I'm used to. But so there are those elements that were brought up at the RAC when you first, when you, I guess you were on the job for like a day or whatever, when you came to the RAC. There you go. But those are a couple other things that came up at the RAC. Other questions? Tino, you've been kind of quiet. Oh, Anu, there is one thing that I would like to get to.
Sure.
Lynn, you asked about, you asked a couple of questions about the status of the recommendations for the gangway car, open gangway cars.
Yes,
and
sir.
And I don't remember exactly. I think it was a recommendation. I tend to think that the recommendation was not adopted by the AAC. But what I would like to do, Anu, the three questions that Lynn had at the beginning, can we research those questions and come up with a definitive answer as to where the AAC stood on those? Yeah, I think that would be the best way to go. I don't want to be wrong. I know we have records on this.
Yes.
And so, but it has come up a lot over the last couple of years, and it's been a spirited discussion with everything that you're hearing now, you know, the pros and the cons and the, and everything. Yeah.
Okay. Chair Sheehan, we do have Tino Calabia with his hand up, followed by Philippa. Steve has raised his hand again. So,
okay.
Tino, Philippa.
Tino, I was hoping you would weigh in, sir. Tino?
You need to unmute yourself.
Tino has been a proponent of gangway cars for at least the last 3 or 4 years. At least
Tino, you're still on mute.
Tino?
Tino, you're still on mute. We cannot hear you. There you go. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah.
Tino, yeah.
Then, first of all, as I mentioned earlier, welcome on this month of March, which celebrates the National Disability Awareness Month. And the design of gangways, is open gangways, is particularly important since there have been terrible accidents. You know, you mentioned you came aboard in the early 2000s. In 1997 alone, the New York Times reported that there were 3 deaths in which people who were blind or with low vision mistook the gap between 2 cars for the entryway that they were looking for. And they not only made the mistake of they fell to their deaths. In more recent years, a couple of people who are low vision or close to blind fell here in this 21st century. In New York, under other circumstances, one person fell and was crushed to death just a couple of years ago. So this is very important for people who are blind or low vision so that they do not make that kind of fatal mistake. With respect to what you mentioned before, this is widely used elsewhere. A fellow named Yona Freeman, who's with the Urban Institute, has studied these things for many, many years. And in 2015, he came out with a study which showed that even then, even back then, 75% of transit, rail transit systems in urban areas were using open gangways. Hitachi, which is building our rail car and rail train system, just built one for Saudi Arabia. And I think it's been in use in the past year. So Hitachi has a great deal of experience with this. Other urban transit systems also have experience. Hawaii could be opening there in 2 years.
Tina, could we get to a question? We understand the worldwide uses of
yes.
Gangway. Yeah, I'd like to, if we could jump to a question. Thanks.
My question would be then, how is it that we have waited so long when the rest of the world has passed us by? I'm glad that our new general manager is in the leadership of at least considering this, which was turned down by an earlier administration. Thank you, and welcome again to March celebrating National Disabilities Awareness.
Thank you, Tina.
Thank you, Tina. Philippa, go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. You going to say something?
I didn't know if Lynn wanted to address Tino's comment.
Okay.
Well, first of all, so thank you, Philippa. It will be brief. I just want to salute Tino for, you know, offering that wealth of information. Obviously, I have a lot to catch up on, and I appreciate your advocacy on behalf of the community.
Thank you.
Philippa?
Good evening, everyone. Actually, Tino kind of touched on one of the comments I was going to make, which is that about the accordion being there, because a friend of mine is one of the ones who, she didn't die, but she is completely blind and mistook the opening between cars for the opening going into the car and fell between, but she was pulled out before anything catastrophic happened. So I was glad to see that people like her using a cane, et cetera, won't be able to make that mistake again in the gangway thing. I also appreciate that it allows you to take your walker, stroller, cart, carriage onto the train without jamming up the aisle. And it apparently gives people room to go through. My question that I'm getting to, however, is I can't tell by the picture, but if I walk into this open gangway and I decide to move down, maybe further down where there's open seating, is there anything to hold on to once the car is in motion? A lot of times, or even to change cars, a lot of times I might be on the train and there's a lot of noise in this particular car, so I have to wait till the next station and kind of jump out and jump back on in another car. So obviously I'd be able to walk straight through now, but is there anything to hold on to if I decided to make that move to get seating or to get away from too much noise?
Sure. So the concept rendering does have handholds.
Okay.
They may be in different locations. I don't think we've settled on these handholds. Again, this is illustrative versus a formal design proposal, but they do contemplate handholds. I will tell you, if any of you have ever traveled on Acela, it has open gangways and there are handholds to move between the cars.
And okay.
That's sort of an example of something you might have already experienced.
Not a seller. I just usually grab onto a seat and keep moving.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's take a couple more questions. It's been a good discussion. Steve, were you next?
Yes, thank you.
Are we going second time here?
We do have somebody showing ECNV. I believe that may be a member of the public. Besides that, we have Steve Caffin on the second round and then Sandy.
ECNV is Doris Ray.
Oh, Doris. Okay, Doris.
Let's go to Doris Ray first, and then let's go to Sandy. I mean, Steve, and then Sandy, and then I'll end it because Lynn has been here for a good chunk of time. Doris, you're up, and then Steve, Sandy, and myself.
Okay, I think it's very important that we consider the open gangways, and I thought I heard a comment from staff that that this, in answer to a question, that this would be more something for somebody who is either physically able-bodied or, you know, blind people or such, and not be wheelchair accessible. But one of the concepts, I believe, in what we submitted already to WMATA staff and the WMATA board said it should be wheelchair accessible. So if you're going to have these gangways, they need to be wheelchair accessible. And in light of the passing of Judy Heumann, she would be saying that here tonight too. As a woman who is legally blind, who rides the train for my work frequently from to and from Vienna Station late at night and going other places down to Alexandria and such, I am worried about security issues that have been mentioned here. Ms. Rush mentioned them and others have mentioned them. I'm concerned about are being able to know if they're seating inside the accordion connection, whether who's in there. And I'm not sure how we're going to be able to handle that. But the other comment that I wanted to bring forth is, if any of you, like I have ridden the accordion buses, like on the H Street line, what is that, the 81 or something, but the H Street line, I find it difficult to ambulate through there. And when I was doing that on a regular basis, I was a younger woman. There was nothing to hold on to. And so I'm concerned about the design. And I think we've got to really get real specific about how that design is going to ensure full accessibility and safe ambulation and or safe rolling through to the next train. And I would be concerned with our implementing anything in any kind of rush. Those are my comments.
Thank you, Doris. Appreciate that. Let me go to Steve and then to Sandy, and then I'll
wrap up. Thank you. This is very quick. For the accordion, you're opting for, I think, for the right thing. You know, you've got accordion, you've got the gangways that are accordion style, which many metros use, and they're just not as good as what you're using and you've designed, which is more the enveloping style, which we're you're not even seeing the outside of the train as you're moving through it. It's safer, it's more comfortable, and with the appropriate railing and the width to make it wide enough for at least wheelchairs and even wider, I can see that, you know, the design is good. One thing I would hit, a suggestion I would make, must have been 3 or 4 years ago, we presented some prototype designs, might have been for the 7000 series, I don't remember. But one design which stood out, and it seems to be what you're doing right now, is the Atlanta metro system. It seemed to have the same kind of gangway that you're looking at, and it was a really nice looking train. So that might be something you take a look at as a prototype as you're doing the design. I strongly second what Pat said about poles. We have a series, and it might 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 series, where the poles at the doors were eliminated so that everybody could move to the center of the car. Well, you know that we know that's wishful thinking. We need those poles. Otherwise, it's a mass grab as people move from one side to the other. So being conscious of the space that wheelchairs need to get into the system, we really need poles. What you might consider is having handles coming out of the poles, maybe 4 or 5 different handles, so people can grab onto the metal handles into the poles. And a system that does that very well, if you can get a picture of it, is the Prague system. They have the poles like that, and they work really like 4 people hold on to that one pole without infringing on the other. And I think that's all for me. Sorry about that, but thanks very much. This is very exciting.
Thank you, and I really appreciate the Prague example. I'm looking it up.
Oh, at wait, am I still on?
Yes.
Am I still on?
Yeah, we can hear you, Steve.
Okay, this is real quick. The Vienna system, gangway that they use both in their trams and in their metro is almost exactly what your design system looks like. It's wide open. It's exactly what it looks like. So if you could get a picture of that Vienna system, my hope is that one day we have trams that look like what you're designing right now that run down K Street and serve to feed the buses coming from different directions and really transform the movement overground. But take a look at the Vienna system, if you would, because you're doing something very similar to what they do. Thank you.
Steve, you would be willing at modest expense to travel over to Vienna to take pictures, I assume.
Well, you know, it's so funny you mentioned that. The fifth thing I wanted to mention very quickly is that the way I happen to be in Rio de Janeiro right now, and they have designed new metro cars, taking into consideration exactly what, Lynn, what you talked about, and they're hybrids. One side is completely seats up against one side. The other side has the seats, you know, two seats. So they've recognized the best of both or the worst of both or whatever, but that's what they're doing. And you might want to consider something like that, a hybrid.
Steve, take some pictures, Steve. I had no idea you were in Rio. I swear.
Oh, yes, I will.
You sound like you're next door. Appreciate your dedication in coming to the meeting, and I'm sorry about that.
Excuse me, Steve. This is Carol Lopez.
Yeah.
Hi.
I am sorry. Since you're in Rio, could you look at the gaps?
look up the gaps
between the platform and the train.
Yes. Oh. No, hardly any gap.
Okay, thank you.
I know because I take pictures of all this stuff.
I'm trying to give you a hard time, Steve, and there you are.
They don't have the curves. Some of the curves that we have, they go pretty straight in their trains for the most part. As you know, in London, perhaps they have the worst gaps because those trains are curving to such an extent that it's a real challenge, and they actually have to make an announcement, mind the gap. So there we are. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. Yes. Sandy, go ahead, and then I'll have the last word.
This is Sandy. So I just wanted to weigh in on some bench seats along the side, and bench seats on 7000 series cars, you know, have a grab pole on either side to help you get up. But a combination of bench seats along the side and seats facing the direction the train is going forwards and backwards for long rides. And I'm all in favor of that. And I like that solution that Steve just mentioned, one side of the car having forward facing seats and one side having bench seats sounds like a great possibility. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. And I'll just finish up. First, I want to say thank you, Lynn. I find it amazing that Steve's in Rio de Janeiro taking pictures for all of us. It's pretty cool. The only thing that I had brought up was how these cars, gangway cars, would do around curves. I brought it up at the rack, noting that you know, we've got several curves in our area that the train will have to negotiate. So I know that's something that will be looked at, and engineers will take their time doing that. So with that, Anu, we do have the two or three things that Lynn asked as sort of do outs from us with respect to the official AAC position. But I think you've heard a lot of interest from AAC. There are some upsides and some downsides. And you don't have any time frame for making a decision, do you, Lynn?
Not yet, Mr. Chairman, but this has been terrific input, and it helps us frame the questions that we need answers to, just to the next step. And so once Shushil is back and we're able to confer, we'll have a better sense of timing for returning to the committee, and we'll be back in touch through you and Anu, if that's okay.
I'm working through Anu, that's perfect. Great, we look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the last thing I guess I would say on this is that Lynn and company are talking to the RAC, and as you see, talking to us also. So I think that any recommendations coming from AAC and RAC could be joint recommendations. We'll see what the RAC says. And I think that's always important when we can have recommendations that both committees agree on. And if there are areas of preference or disagreement, we'll note those too. So thank you. Good discussion on that. I was frankly surprised when that came up at the last board meeting. I wasn't expecting that, but let's see where it takes us. Next on the agenda is the board hearings, of course, that are going on right now. We have hearings Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. Friday is a virtual meeting. Tomorrow night's hearing is in Hyattsville. I forget where Wednesday's meeting is, Anu. Do you have that?
That's in Falls Church. And I will state the address in just a quick second.
Good. Thank you for that. One of the things that Paul indicated to me, you know, how Paul is wanting to testify at all the hearings. They did tell Paul that he can't give the same testimony in four hearings. If he does, they're only going to count it once, so he doesn't get four votes. So I was trying to figure out how I was going to run this meeting and testify at the same time, but I can't. But I'll be testifying tomorrow night. And anybody who is at the meeting here, as Phil said, and has the opportunity to testify, that's really where you want to be. So appreciate everyone's testimony. Don't know if folks have any questions concerning. We had some talking points that we had sent out earlier, and concerning Better Bus Network, I think, of course, the fares. We look for fare simplification. We're looking for a fixed fare, particularly for Metro Access. So were there any questions or any comments concerning testimony, thoughts, process, anything like that? Take the next few minutes to talk about that.
Shihan, this is Anu.
Yes, go ahead, Anu.
We do have two hands up by Doris Ray and Denise Rush.
Okay.
You can state the addresses and the timings for the meet for tomorrow and Wednesday once they're done, if you would like.
Sure, that'd be good. Let me go with Denise and then Doris. Denise, go ahead. 6:34 p.m.
I have read the points that we wanted to touch on. My concern is that the bullet points that WMATA has discussed or put on paper, not one of those bullet points mention Metro Access. And that is hurtful, because they were very specific, blue line this,
yellow line, that orange line. This bus is going to run all night. We're going to simplify the fares for SNAP. What about stating that you're thinking about simplifying the fares for Metro Access? Metro Access is being treated like a stepchild. They're not even mentioned at all. I'm concerned about that.
Thank you, Denise. And I reread what we talked about earlier today. And you're right. They talked about the large system, the bus rail. Nothing was said about Metro Access, but they did talk about simplifying
fares for DC people who are on SNAP. Doesn't right. have anything to do with disabled.
Right. And of course we had, yeah. And our testimony, we've talked about, why is it just SNAP? Why can't we use SSI, SSDI? Of course, people with disabilities are on that. And of course, fare simplification, equity, and the fact that we want a fixed fare, that we already have in the evenings and on weekends. We know it works, and it's an easy way for Metro Access talking Mr. about the cost variance that we would have for Metro Access if bus and rail go up. Go
Mr. ahead. Blake on?
Yes, ma'am, I'm on.
What I just was stating was my concern. Why isn't that one of the bullet points?
Well, I guess, so let me back up. Okay, you make a great point, but I guess with the Metro Access, with the concept of a Metro Access flat fare not being an official proposal at this time, it would not be listed, but that's what you and other members have stated. You're going to go before the members, the board, at these board hearings to advocate that they add into their planning for that fiscal year.
Well, I stated that. Right.
That's why it's not.
Board meeting, and I've been stating it, and we have been discussing it. The AC committee has been talking about it, but I will surely ask the general manager.
Agreeing with you, Denise.
If you continue to advise the benefits of it as the AC. So I think, again, if it's not part of the official proposal, why not see it there? And then there may have not been another mention of Metro Access because there are no significant changes being proposed. The service area is still going to be larger than fixed route services. We're still trying to maintain being one of the lower shared ride services in the nation. We're still offering alternatives at a discount. So there was no significant financial or service-related change to Metro Access. That's why there was no official listing in the public hearing document.
Right, but we do, going back to Denise's point, I think that has been one of the things that we have been advocating for the last 2 years or 4 years is fixed fare. And so with anything else that we have to say, whether we're talking about bus networks, bus stops, better bus network going forward, I think number one on all of our talking points has to be a fixed fare for Metro Access, fare simplification, which is something that they're pushing for. So thank you, Denise. Let me go to Doris.
Yes, thank you. Number one, I think that bus route changes and stuff in the district are there because of new legislation that was passed in the DC City Council. And I think that raises the important point that it is our Maryland and Virginia jurisdictions that need to put more money in there, and they are the ones who are authorizing new bus service. I will say that the bus service that's being increased, supposedly in quotes, increased in Virginia, is on lines that have plenty of service, whereas there's nothing new happening for most of Northern Virginians. And some of the things that we discussed at Better Bus in terms of alignment of bus lines are not in there. And I'm very, very disappointed as a fixed route user. But I also raised my hand to mention that I think it sounds like from the description in the announcement that the school where they're going to have the public hearing in Northern Virginia used to be called George Mason High School, I believe, for the city of Falls Church. And I think it's the same one at West Falls Church, but I guess staff can confirm that. So that's what I wanted to say. I think we need to be telling MATA board and having them hear that if they don't get their jurisdictions to cough up money and make better bus service in Maryland and Virginia, that we will not be able to use the bus to cross our jurisdictions and to go to work and live where we do in Fairfax County, Montgomery County, or wherever. And I think it's important to say we need better service than once every 70 minutes or once every 45 minutes. So,
thank you, Doris. You. Agree. And that has been one of the positions that that the AAC has taken. Very good. Any other comments concerning proposal?
Yeah. But is that right? Does the staff know? Is it that Falls Church High School?
Let me check with Anu. Okay. You have the addresses, Anu?
I have the addresses, and cool. I know that Tino has his hand up, followed by Sandy Newsel. So Tino, just give me a quick moment. Let me read out the addresses for meeting address for tomorrow and Wednesday. So
no, I didn't recognize the address, and I live in Falls Church, so.
Go ahead, Anu. Thank you, Doris.
I think that's where it is, though. I think that's what it is.
Go ahead, Anu.
I would have to double check if there was a former name. But tomorrow it's going to be at the new Carrollton Metro office, which is 4100 Garden City Drive in Hyattsville, Maryland. And Metro staff will be available at 5 p.m. for an open house. The budget hearings start at 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. On Wednesday, March 8th, the budget hearings again start at 6 p.m. It's called Meridian High School at 121 Mustang Alley, Falls Church. And the nearest metro station is West Falls Church, which is on the Orange Line. Again, metro staff will be available starting from 5 p.m. for the open house, followed by the budget hearing starting at 6 p.m. And I just want to remind everyone that I have been sending emails with information, so I'm hoping that everyone has that information. If for some reason you're not able to find my email, please let me know. I'll be more than happy to resend it.
Thank you, Anu. Very good. Let's see, you said Tino had his hand up.
Yes,
go ahead, Tino.
Andy, and we do have one person, one AAC member who would like to make some public comments.
Yes, thank you. Okay, let me go to Tino and then we'll go to the public comments next.
You know, I'm really amazed. Many of us are going on Wednesday to Addis, Israel to pay homage to Judy Heumann. I hesitate to try and think of what she would do, but it seems to me that in other circumstances, she wouldn't stand for this. She wouldn't stand for this. We have asked for a flat fare for I don't know how long and at other hearings. And as Denise mentions, there's no sign of that, no in on the budget that we could address. Well, the heck with it. There should be. And I'm going to tell them when I testify that there needs to be some recognition of Metro Access and some answer on our request over 2, 3, 4 years about a flat fare.
Thank you, Tina.
I'm always astounded by how meek many of us are. It's the budget. Of course, if it's not in the budget, then say something that it should be in the budget. I'm not going to stand still and let it go by again that there's no mention. If it's not in the budget, I'm going to tell them it should be in the budget. Some recognition of Metro Access and in particular flat fare. Let's do that. Let's keep in mind the kind of model that Judy Heumann is for us. Let's speak up. Let's not be afraid. Let's not be silent when silence is not the key to a solution for what we've been talking about. Thank you.
Thank you, Tina. Appreciate that. Yes. It's our opportunity to make our voice heard. And they've been hearing us for the last couple, 2, 3 years. But we need to continue to advocate and push for what we need and what we think is right. And what actually would be good for WMATA also. Very good. Thank you.
Chair Sheehan.
Yes.
On the agenda, we had public comments at 6:45. We are at 6:47. We do have Sandy Newsel, who still has her hand up for the budget discussion.
Oh.
You'd like to take public comments first and then come back to Sandy?
Why don't we do that? Why don't we do that for public comments? And then, Sandy, I'll recognize you to finish up the budget discussion. Thank you.
Thank you. If we have any members of the public attending this meeting, if you have any comments, please raise your hand or inform us now. I know that Debbie Fisher wanted to make some comments.
Mm-hmm.
Debbie, go ahead.
Thank you. I just wanted to, well, actually, Tina teed me up really well. Thank you. I wanted to just ask Metro, I know Anu, you said you would look into it. On Wednesday, I am actually very concerned about accessibility of the Metro, the Cleveland Heights Metro stop to Addis Israel congregation, because I think there's going to be a record outpouring of attendees with a variety of mobility, vision, hearing disabilities. And this would not be a good time for the elevator to fail. I just have an enormous number of concerns about the capacity for Metro to handle what I think is going to be record numbers. It has a very limited size parking lot, and it's an accessible building, but the space in which the service will be held is still limited. I just have a lot of concerns. So my reason for bringing it up here is really I'm asking Metro to put something into place in terms of being prepared for and addressing the needs of our disabled visitors who we're expecting will be coming from around the country.
Thank you. Okay.
Mr. Chair, just a reminder, if I might, this is Phil again. Paul Semelfort and I just finished testimony, and there is still time for anybody to call in and be added to the queue on the telephone and to testify on the telephone. I listened to Tino's impassioned plea. And it'd be nice if the folks on the committee dialed the phone number, got into the queue, and said something tonight to make it better. for all of the disability people that they supposedly recommend. And if you don't do it tonight, there's tomorrow, Wednesday, and Friday. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. Very good. Anu, did we have any other public comments?
No other public comments. We can.
All right.
Very Steve good. Raised his hand up again, but if you'd like, we can go to Sandy and then we can come back to Steve.
Yeah, let me go to Sandy and then we'll go to Steve. Sandy, you had a comment on the budget.
Sort of a question. I'm a little confused where things stand with the floating bus islands. That's a topic that I would like to address. So was that included in the concept of budget for bus shelters in a sense? Okay. So yeah,
at least that's, well, that's where I've been putting it. With respect to the Better Bus Network, I think that it concerns both bus stops and the bus network, and of course the way they're constructing the floating bus stops. I know that in Montgomery County, we have now starting to put in accessible pedestrian signals to let individuals know that there is a float, that the bus stop is moved, and two, that where it's located, and that it's that the red light is on to cross the 8 feet or so from the sidewalk to the bus stop, so that particularly bicycles will know to stop.
That's the moment.
Perfect, but it's useful.
I said, and then
go ahead, Phil.
And then expanded on.
And what?
You gave.
Dr. Posner, I'm not sure if you're making comments for the meeting. I can.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is Sandy. I wasn't quite done. So.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sandy. Go ahead. Yes. So they would be covered under the.
So is it a done deal, or is it a done deal, or are they still studying the feasibility of this and, you know, expense and safety? That's what.
I think that, and I'm just speaking based on what I've seen, not only in DC, but in Maryland and Virginia and around the country, the floating bus stop concept is one that is nationwide, basically. So just like you would, you know, you talk about roundabouts and not exactly the safest thing for blind people, I think the same thing is true with floating bus stops. They have been installed a lot all over the country. I think that DC is, you know, going forward with it. I don't think the question is, should we do it or not, because of the bike network that's going through there. But I think you need to figure out how the accessibility of the bus stops are being, you know, engineered. I do know that in DC, in Montgomery County, we've made a lot of mistakes. And we didn't do a good job initially. We're doing a much better job. And I know that the folks in DC are talking to the folks in Montgomery County Park and Planning, who put some accessibility features in. So we want to have universal design. If you're going to have floating bus stops, which I don't like, but if you're going to have them, then you need to design them with these accessibility features in mind. That's what we're advocating.
Okay, good. Then that gives me something concrete to talk about. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks. And Sandy, if you want to talk about that some more with me, you probably know how to reach me. And I'd be happy to chat with you about floating bus stops.
I think I can just speak to be sure that the accessibility features are installed universally at the floating bus stops.
Good. Okay, beautiful.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Sandy.
Chair Sheehan.
Yes.
We have Steve Kaplan.
Oh, thank you.
Philip Weintraub, and Carol also has raised her hand. So I'm not sure, Carol, you're trying to respond to Steve's comments.
Sure. I'll be very quick with respect to dealing with Cleveland Park and the possibly overwhelming aspect there for attendees. Metro does very well moving people when certain Metro stations are not functioning. And they also started a movement using the circulator between Woodley Park and the zoo. And the zoo is right next to Cleveland Park. So they have a great deal of experience using alternative stations to get people to their destinations. One suggestion might be to have an overflow situation ready.
I think did you drop, Steve? But I think we get the gist of what you were saying. Thank you, Steve. Anu?
Cleveland Park Station and just have a whole bunch of buses there as they customarily do when they're doing repair work.
I think you need Steve.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Anu?
We have Philip Weintraub and Carol also would like to make some comments.
Okay, let's go to Philip and then Carol. Thank you.
I was also another concern. I also was thinking about Cleveland Park because also the concern I have is that Cleveland Park only has one, a station has one elevator. And with that, I was concerned that with all the wheelchair traffic that's going to be going up there, up and down on Wednesday, wear and tear. So I would just suggest that on Wednesday, before things get busy, that be sure you have like shuttle buses on standby going from either Van Ness or Woodley Park, just in case if it says break down and they can get right on the right, they could just get right on the Van Ryken and get the people like to alternative stations at a timely manner and not have them wait so long. Because because of all the traffic, they should also be sure that have at least one escalator going each direction. Be sure working each direction before it gets busy, so people also can. So because there's going to be people a big deal with the disability field. So there's going to be a lot of people with disabilities going to the funeral.
Very good. Thank you, Philip. Appreciate the suggestion. Thank you.
Chair Sheehan,
yes.
Can I just add really quickly that, yes, we do understand that there is probably going to be a large population. We are trying to make some plans for that to handle the ridership appropriately.
The ridership. So just thank share. You. I know. Yes. Good. Would you, Carol, next?
Carol?
Yes, thank you. I wanted to ask you, Patrick, you said that Montgomery County has installed audible pedestrian signals at some floating bus stops. Could you please tell me which one, at least example, yeah. Because I just want you to know that I've been advocating for audible pedestrian signals nonstop, but...
Well, you did a good job.
No one has told me they've already installed it.
Yes. Matt Johnson indicated to Susan Cropper that on her mid-county floating bus stop on 2nd Avenue, that they were going to be installing an accessible pedestrian signal. I think it's an accessible pedestrian signal.
It's 2nd Avenue and?
2nd Avenue and Rookwood Road, I believe. Oh, no, 2nd Avenue and Seminary, I think.
Okay.
I can get you the exact address of Matt Johnson.
Okay. You know Matt, right? I have another question.
Go ahead.
There has been an effort by some jurisdictions to put these guide strips between the pedestrian pathways and the bike paths. And the DDOT does not, well, the federal agencies are not on board with that, mm-hmm. because guide strips are supposed to be for guiding someone
to go someplace, not to separate paths between vehicle, bicycles and pedestrian paths.
Right.
So it would be a So I've stated that it would be a confusing thing to use.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted you to know that is happening in some jurisdictions. They were thinking about installing that, and that we are on the record saying that we're not in, right. Just like the federal guidance, we do not feel that that's the right thing to do.
And I would tend to agree with you. Going back to what Sandy was talking about and what I had mentioned, I think that having this solution over here in Virginia and this solution over here in DC and another solution over in Maryland is confusing. You have to have universal design. We need to be talking and coming up with one design for the region. Otherwise, I come up or someone comes up who doesn't have any idea what these things mean. They may mean something to the engineer, but me, who was using a cane to navigate from point A to point B, has no idea what that means. And someone with a guide dog who is working alongside and might encounter this has no idea what that guide strip means. So I tend to agree with you. It comes down to, under ADA, what is effective communication? And a guide strip doesn't tell me anything. So we're agreeing.
Thank you.
We do have to do that. We do have to keep on that. And I think that's something, of course, coming up under bus rail subcommittee that we will keep an eye on and work towards. Thank you. Anu, are we out of public comment period?
That was it. We had Debbie Fisher,
mm-hmm.
public comment, and we had no other members of the public for that
okay. section. Very good. All hands are down. Good. Okay.
Yes.
We do have our committee reports now.
Yes.
Metro Access and Bus and Rail. I think, are we at?
We are at that point. It's
yeah, seven. We're at Bus and Rail?
We are at Bus and Rail, followed by Metro Access.
Okay, so, let's go with, thank you, Anu. I just missed a little bit of my agenda. Let me go to Bus and Rail. Tino, you're up.
Yes, actually, Sandy offered to substitute for me the time away.
Okay, so it didn't dawn on me until rather late, so this is going to be a rather pitiful report.
This will be fine, Sandy. No, nothing pitiful.
Because I feel like the Bus and Rail Committee report is essentially in the minutes from the last meeting. And so I'm just going to mention the topics. Tino did say that I should name the names of people who were speaking, but I'm sorry, I'm a little overwhelmed.
No, I think topics are fine.
Okay. Yeah. So the first topic we hit on was the WMATA customer service, when folks have an issue, something doesn't work right, bus, rail, whatever. How do they report it? And do they get feedback that has been received? And the woman who was listening, and Steve Kaffin was really pounding this home, that we do need better feedback to recognize that our issue has been heard. And I think she said she was going to come back and give us more on that. But I mean, but Barbara Melville and Carol Lopez, I think, were the other ones who said, yes, it goes, or maybe it was Anu who said, yes, anything that gets reported goes up through the system, goes to the correct department, it is followed up on.
Mm-hmm.
You just may not realize it's being followed up on. It was Darby Dickerson who was talking to us. The next topic we hit on was the budget hearing and the talking points that Phil has so kindly put together for us that are directly related to items that the Metro Board has said they want to address. But obviously tonight we're sort of superseding that with tell them what they need to hear. and the equitable fare issues came up, and bus shelters were two of the big topics under that budget hearing topics. And then we had a quick review at the Fairgates preview follow-up, the Fairgates that were reviewed by several, maybe a half a dozen of us at Fort Totten, and comments that we made about how usable they are. Also side issues about fare evasion that continues in plain sight. But the Fairgates, I guess I don't understand exactly where the Fairgates stand now, but I think that there's going to be a second round of trying them out at another station. And I'm sure we're going to hear more about that in the future. I hope. And then my last topic was bus stops in the region. Oh yeah, bus shelters was again addressed, and that's sort of a, unfortunately, confusingly, an issue that varies, you know, from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, how it gets funded, how that well they're maintained, and that just seems all over the map to me. I can't quite, no pun intended, I can't quite follow how we are going to effectively follow up on that, because there's so many bus stops all around DC, Maryland, and Virginia. So that's my report, sort of past and my current thinking thrown in on the side. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Tino raised his hand. I believe he wants to add something to the.
Good. Okay.
Please do, Tino.
Go ahead, Tino. Good job, Sandy. Thank you.
I don't have the draft minutes in front of me, but what should be remembered is that some of us noticed how scandalous it was to be standing there in a group evaluating these Fairgates and watching dozens of people just jumping over, which was outrageous. The other thing is that with respect to the bus stops, one thing that was mentioned during it, and maybe it's in the minutes, I don't have them in front of me, but we said that we would try and invite the different jurisdictions which share responsibility for bus stops, or not only share, in some places they may control them. We should have them come in and tell us what they're going to do, especially since the recovery monies is still available to the U.S. and to various jurisdictions and transit companies to find out what these jurisdictions are going to do about improving the bus stops. That probably is in the draft, but just a reminder that's one thing we tried to emphasize during the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Tino and Sandy. I appreciate that, because that's exactly something that I brought up in front of the board. And I think I know that's something that general manager is interested in, is the health and wellness of the bus stops, getting the jurisdiction to come in here and report on what they have and what their plans are, I think is good and feeds into the Better Bus Network opportunity going forward. So it fits in. I think we need to put together some questions that we can start off with and see, get the appropriate people to come to our meetings, since it's virtual, shouldn't be all that difficult to report on that and see if we can do some follow-up. I think we have a resident photographer who volunteered, once we can get him back from Rio de Janeiro, to take pictures of some of the bus stops, with a picture being worth 1,000 words. So thank you both. Appreciate it. Is Paul back with us?
Of course.
Yes. Still at the top. Hello, here, sir. Right? I think I gave you more than 5 minutes to give a report. So take it away, Paul.
My word. And of course, Ms. Rush can jump in. So last month, we had a very lengthy discussion about the new Metroactus minivan updates and how some of our committee members did get to sample some of them. Ms. Rush and a couple of others, particularly Ms. Rush, I put emphasis on, very detailed explained, you know, while yes, you have to duck your head to get in, these are purchases that will be, you know, made by management. That we, some of us committee members, once they come into play, about 23 of them, we, some of us committee members will be testing. It is said right now that it's supposedly it can hold up to possibly two ambulatory people and a third, and a, you know, someone using a mobility device wheelchair that has to be strapped down. And of course, the concerns are, you know, people of varying sizes can, all three can fit into that space, and that it remains to be seen, but that will be tested out and feedback will be given back on that. And it was my understanding from management that once we get through that phase, there will be more vans purchased. It will be possible, it will be the majority eventually of the Metroactus fleet, along with some sedans, along also with some Metroactus vans, a mix of things. On top of having abilities ride as a third party provider to provide Metroactus service. Next, we talked about the monthly statistics request, how I commented that, you know, now we have abilities ride as a third party provider. You know, the total, you know, the numbers that we get now, just the pure numbers of total riders on average, they you know, ridership that are just in the dedicated vehicles. And I was commenting if it can be added as part of the report, and for some, you know, reasons explained that cannot, but that the understanding is that if hopefully on a monthly basis, I would, you know, at the committee's request, we can get, you know, the abilities ride numbers to get an actual idea month to month what is the true riding membership of total Metroactus customers. The other piece we discussed is the Metroactus pickup window change for consideration. Right now, you're given a time, it's 15 minutes before, 15 minutes after for that 30 minute window. What was proposed by Metroactus management was, here's your window, 5:30. Give the driver, you know, 5:30 to 6 o'clock to come pick you up within the half an hour window. The committee, surprisingly, wholeheartedly agreed, so long as the window is not expanded beyond the 30 minutes, that this will help the customer understand it, and we strongly emphasize if we're going to make this change, which I think we think would be of great benefit to customers and understanding their window and being there when we say 5:30, the understanding is 5:30 to 6 o'clock, that, you know, this will help improve on time performance, customer pickup, moving a more efficient and safe service at the same time of customers. And it's very important that we deliver, you know, I strongly put out there, communicating is very clearly of this, you know, change to customers. You know, before it was the idea, I think, of management by July, it would start on after June 30th, July 1st of this year, as they will be making another presentation as to next steps with this at the next meeting. The other item we that is going to be on agenda for discussion for this upcoming month. It looks like also we did discuss the Where's My Ride pilot, how some of the people have jumped ship who were one of the 20 people. And I'm one of the few rebels. No, I don't want to say rebels. Persistent customers giving feedback, and I've given Mr. Blake a lot of feedback, and so, you know, varnished of, you know, some of its glows and many of its grows in terms of it's still not there yet for customers to use or have. It's far from there, at least I think, in terms of giving us, you know, accurate times within the parameters in which you discussed, like getting the updates, like within maybe 5 or 10 minutes before the actual vehicles arrive. It is far away from that. It's, I've explained to him in text over the past month or so, you know, times of being telling me it's 37 minutes. And it turns into an Uber trip. It doesn't show up. You know, it's already late, you know, from, oh, I get information after the, you know, window ends, you know, or so it's all over the place. And that still needs to be worked with. 7:15 p.m. I just hopeful that, I know originally Mr. Blake, maybe you can give comment. It was my hope that we would hopefully get the same thing that you showed us. We had in your hand when you shared your screen. I know the customer view, as you explained, is going to be different than what management has. But I'm still trying to hopefully advocate if we can get the approximate, can we get what you get as management minus, you know, obviously certain things. But
that is certainly my dream, but we're still a huge testify tonight, and I can't just or report it. I don't want to say, but we're still a bit away from that, and I'm working very hard to get us there. And something's got to give. And much like, and I heard Tino, and I'm not trying to change the subject. The advocacy. I mean, Tino was you and the committee took many years advocating for open gangway. Now you have leadership that's open to the idea. Well, the same thing here. I'm talking to my leadership and saying, hey, I'm going to continue to do what I can as a computer, whatever you may want to call me, but there's a more ideal solution, and Metro should not be late to this game, given other transit properties can more easily provide accurate information of where's my ride to their customers. And I think the leadership is listening to that. In the meantime, we're going to continue this project, but no, we're going to be moving to the direction that the rest of the world is on, hopefully soon.
Because this would be, in the end, very helpful if we're able to see, okay, if our ride is late, we can make decisions, you know, things like that. It, you know, we just want was equitable combustion rail. They're both in real time, and we like to get that prepared transit. And we've asked this for many, 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 many years. On our, you know, our
thank you, Paul.
So yeah. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Mr. Blake.
Ms. Rush.
Go ahead, Ms. Rush.
One thing that we talked about, it was mentioned that it was costing $60 per trip. And I said, that's old. And Mr. Blake said, well, right now it is $93 approximately per trip. So when you say per trip, that means $93 going and $93 coming. So that is $186 for a round trip.
Sounds like a car payment, don't it?
Yeah. And that's, well, but that's more accurate than $60.
Whoever said 60 was woefully out of date. I think that person should get fired.
Well, we're not calling names. We're talking about what was at the meeting. And Mr. Blake said that there's approximately 1,700 Uber trips per week. Correct, Mr. Blake?
Mr. Blake? I think the number I gave was, yes, can you hear me?
It was 1,700
alternative trips. That's Uber plus taxis a day.
Okay, yes, okay.
1,700 a day.
A day or a week?
A day, 1,700 a day.
Goodness, really?
Yes.
Well, what?
So we're trying to make it work for everybody.
Yeah. Are you saying that is a day and not by the week?
Every
Recalculate.
Okay.
Oh my goodness. Oh,
I mean, think you have shot the African queen.
Yeah, I need oxygen. Okay.
Well, I certainly can't top that. Anu?
Yes, sir.
I think we have few minutes left. I think your closing remarks, and we can let everyone go back early.
Okay, wonderful. So I just want to remind everyone who would like to make some public comments can do so during the meetings, or they can submit their public comments before or after, either by sending us email at metroaacchair@wmata.com or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. Thank you.
Thank you, Anu. And could I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Right. Any opposed? Thank you, committee. Very nice meeting. Appreciate everyone's attention tonight. Thank you. And don't forget to testify at the budget hearings. Thanks.
And Friday's my birthday. This is Thomas.
Oh, Mr. Blake, I sent you a little piece of information.
Yeah. And Friday, I'll be celebrating my birthday. This is Thomas. Bye.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.